Good morning. Hey, welcome to Veritas. We are really glad that you're here to worship with us today. My name is Ryan, and I am one of the pastors here. We're going to kind of jump right in and continue our series through the book of Colossians. If you are new here, I would encourage you, get out to our website. All of our messages are posted online. Get caught up with us. We've been in this book now for 3 weeks. And if you've not been here, you've missed some really incredible truth. Last week, Jake held up for us this beautiful picture of Jesus and reminded us that we've got to get Jesus right before we can get our life right. And it's more than just us trying to avoid going wild with sin, right? It's us seeking our joy and our pleasure and our purpose in Jesus and through Jesus. And not outside of him. See, when I was growing up, it felt like if I would just avoid the big sins and try to do some good things, that I would be right with God. I didn't feel like I had to be like one of those fanatics. And you know the ones I'm talking about, right? The ones that all they talk about is God. And they've got not just one WWJD bracelet, but they've got two, right? And the fish bumper sticker. Like, I didn't feel the pressure to be like those fanatical Christians, but I felt like I could just kind of stay in the middle, that I could just get comfortable and be in that place in the middle. Don't go crazy with the bad stuff, but I didn't feel like I had to go crazy with the God stuff either. I would just kind of stay in that safe place in the middle. Do you know what that feels like? Like, it wasn't like I was against God, But maybe I wasn't for him either. Those around me that knew me, they wouldn't say, man, this guy, he is on fire for Jesus. And so maybe I wasn't like passionately for God, but I didn't think I was against him either, right? I went to church. I knew enough questions to kind of hold my own in Sunday school. I was just kind of apathetic towards God. I just kind of sat in the middle. Do you know what that feels like? Maybe you've been there. Maybe you found yourself making statements like some of these. Maybe some of these things you found yourself saying, like, I'll get serious about my faith when I get less busy. Or maybe I'll get more committed to my relationship with God when my job slows down or my kids have less activities. Or maybe, like, my kids really keep me busy all the time. So maybe when they graduate and go to college and I'm an empty nester, that's when I'll get really serious about my faith. You might say, like, I believe in God and all, but reading the Bible every day or sharing my faith with others, isn't that for those, like, fanatical Christians? For those really kind of crazy ones? See, I think you might feel sometimes, like I have felt at times, like we're not forcefully against God, but maybe we're not passionately for him either. That we found ourselves kind of landing somewhere in the middle. Is that possible? And even, do you know someone that description might describe them? Or an even better question, an even more pertinent question, are you like that? I can always feel a little bit of the air get sucked out of the room when the person up here brings a conversation about generalities and brings it down to a personal level. Have you noticed that? Right? When we talk about the church or we talk about the world or we talk about people, plural, it all is kind of easy and fun and we're okay talking about that. But as soon as somebody pokes a little bit at me or at you individually, it gets a little more difficult. Well, that's what happens in our text today. As a fair warning, that's what happens in Colossians 1, starting in verse 21. That's what we're going to see, because Paul has just finished giving this beautiful description about Jesus and how he related to big groups, right? All things were created through him and for him. In him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, like the plural, the big church. Through him to reconcile to himself all things, right? Up until now, Paul's talking about generalities, big, up here, big groups, and then he's going to get to a very personal level. He's going to bring it down to a you individual level, to a me individual level, and really quickly, he's going to answer the question that we've asked, can we hang out in the middle? Can we be not against God, but maybe not for God either? Can we hang out in the middle? Here's what he says, Colossians 1:21. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it on the screen for you. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. And you. And so now it's personal. Like, and you. It's not up here anymore. It's not about the church as a whole. It's not about the world out there. He says, you individually, me individually, you were once alienated from God and hostile to God, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Or Paul is speaking to the believers in the church at Colossae, and he says, you were once alienated and hostile in mind. You weren't once ambivalent. You weren't once apathetic. He says you were hostile against him. We see really similar language over in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We are hostile to him. Listen, this Bible, it says many things, and we should read all of it. And we should believe all of it. But some of what is written in this Bible is actually easier or more fun to read and believe, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Like, that's a good one, right? Like, hang on to that one. That one's easy to read and agree to. You know, last week we heard about Jesus, that all things were created for him and through him. Those are fun texts to talk about and easy things to believe in. But listen, if we believe that this whole Bible is true, then we need to read all of it and believe all of it, even verses like Colossians 1:21 that says our minds and our actions are evil. They're hostile toward God. They're alienated from him. Apart from the work of Christ, it's not that we can be in the middle of passionately for God or purposefully against God. We can't just sit in the middle in the safe place. We are either with him or against him. And Colossians 1 tells us we're against him. We're hostile to him. Church, we need to quit listening to our friends that tell us we're not that bad, right? Or that loving grandma with really good intentions that doesn't believe you could ever do anything wrong. We need to know the truth of Scripture tells us. We're hostile to God. We're alienated from him, both in our minds and in our actions. It's both of them, right? It's not that we have good hearts and that we just do some bad things every once in a while. All of us is hostile. All of us is evil. And it's not that we just sometimes can do really good actions that make up for the bad motives that we might have for us. All of us is alienated from God. Our hearts and our minds and our actions, all of us. And listen, I want us to just sit in this truth for a little while today. I want us to feel the weight of this truth and let it just settle in on us a little bit. We exist in a high self-esteem culture right now, where we are so often told how great we are. Finish last place in a race, congratulations, here's your ribbon for just showing up. We are told, you're fine just the way you are. You're great. You're good enough. Right? And let's not just talk in generalities about people and about the world. Let's talk about us. We tell ourselves, I tell myself, Ryan, you're not that bad. You're doing just fine. We tell our friends that and our kids that, right? You're just fine the way you are. And all of those statements, they sound good and they're really easy and natural to say and to believe. Do you know what the problem is with those statements? They're just not true. In the grand scheme of life and death, when viewing eternity, when viewing our righteousness and our sinfulness, that idea that we're good enough, it's just not true. The truth of Scripture informs us that we are evil and wicked, that we are alienated from God, that we are hostile toward him. And that doesn't mean that each one of us is living some wild life where we're giving all of our life away to sin. What that means is that just one sin, just one, that little white lie, that little thing that you did long ago, just one sin disqualifies us from enjoying the riches of heaven. Just one sin in my life puts a chasm between me and God that no matter how hard I work and no matter how much good I try to do, nothing I do can get me there. Nothing I do can make up for it. Church, we must recognize the weight and the depth of our sin. Because otherwise, the good news that we'll get to in just a minute, it won't be that good of news. I must see my sin for what it really is before God. Me personally, that my sin is just as bad as the murderer or the racist or the thief. But even more than that, my sin leaves me in a place before God where no matter how hard I try, I'll never get there. I'll never be good enough. I'll never pay the price. He, God, is perfectly holy. And me, human, you, man, you, woman, you are utterly sinful. I want us to do a little exercise this morning together. Take a few seconds and just give a little thought. Do a little replay of your morning so far. All right, think about from the moment you woke up to this moment where you're sitting in the seat that you are in this morning. Did you sin this morning? Or were you patient with your spouse or your kids as you hurried to get around for church this morning? I'm seeing some husbands and wives especially laughing and looking at each other, right? Did you stumble with sin this morning? The day's not very old, but maybe for some of us, we've already struggled, right? Maybe though you'd say, hey, I got through today so far pretty good. All right, think about yesterday. When you got woken up a little bit earlier than you had hoped that you would get woken up, like how did you react in that moment? Watching yesterday's college football day, watching sports, how did you do while watching football when Wisconsin put away the game late with a touchdown? Did you honor God and the thoughts that you had and the reactions that you had? And maybe yesterday you look and say, hey, I did great yesterday. I did all the things that I was supposed to. I didn't struggle in what I did. Think about this past week. Did you honor? Were you respectful of your boss and your coworkers? Were you completely honest in any and all situations? Did you struggle this past week with sin? Some of you would say, hey, even this full last week, like I did great, I didn't sin. Well, here's the thing. You're probably lying or really unaware of your own sin. So you can claim that one. Okay? None of us got through this past week without sin. Why? Because we sin. That's what we do. Honestly, as humans, that's what we're best at. We struggle because naturally our minds and our hearts and our actions, they're hostile toward God. They're alienated from him. And some of you are looking at me like, all right, we get it. Like, let's move on. Come on, you're being mean to me. And I'm sorry for being mean. Actually, I'm really not sorry. I shouldn't say that. I'm not sorry. I would be a terrible pastor for you if all I ever did was talk to you about God's love for you and never help you see that on your own, you are hopeless and that you need rescued. The good news of the gospel isn't that good of news if we don't understand our need for rescue, if we don't understand our need for help and how much we need forgiven. Feel this morning the weight of your sin. And then let's keep reading. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Verse 22 starts with, he has now. And we see Paul draw kind of this distinction in timing, right? He's speaking to the Christians at Colossae, and he gives them a little timeline. He says, here's what it looked like in the past. You were alienated. You were hostile toward God. But now you are reconciled. Now you are holy and blameless. Now you are above reproach. But let me ask you, what happened? What changed their status from hostile to holy? That little phrase in the middle of verse 22, by his death. By the death of Jesus to cover the sins of his people, they went from being hostile to being holy by his work and not by their work. And the truth that Paul is speaking to the church here in this letter is the same truth that you and I need to hear today. There are a couple of interesting word choices in this verse that I think we need to see. That phrase in verse 22, to present you, that little phrase, to present you, is a legal term. Right, so the readers of this text, they would begin to envision kind of this courtroom scene in which they would be presented to the judge. But what Paul is telling them, it's not you that presents you to the judge. It's me that presents you. And then there's another word in here that's used, this word blameless. And this word blameless is kind of from a whole different style of writing. And this would be more like temple writing. Sacrificial writing, this idea of blameless. He's saying we are presented by Christ to God the judge as blameless. But how is it that we are blameless? That little phrase, by his death, by his sacrifice. And there is no other way. I believe one of the biggest lies from this world that we are prone to believe is that we aren't that bad, that we're just good people who slip up every once in a while. No, we are reminded we are evil, we are wicked, we are hostile toward God. And when we understand that truth, it can only leave us searching for help, looking for rescue, and realizing that we can't save ourselves. And that's when verse 22 goes from being okay news to being really, really good news, that he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you, in order to present me holy and blameless and above reproach before him. And just like we sat in the weight of our sin, sit for a moment in that beautiful truth. Feel it. Sit in that. If you have placed your faith in Christ, you were condemned and now you are righteous. You once were in bondage to sin. And you were destined to an eternity in hell, and now you receive freedom. Freedom both in this life and freedom in eternity. You once were lost, but now you are found. You used to have a burden of sin, your own sin, that was too heavy for you to carry. And now the beautiful truth is that you don't have to. Do you know what it is that you're feeling right now as you sit in the weight of that truth? You are experiencing the truth of the gospel and the implications of the gospel. This text, Colossians 1, 21 and 22, this is the gospel. It's good news that we were once hostile toward God, but we are now blameless before him. Rest in that, church. Rest in that truth. Relax in that truth. Rejoice in that truth this morning. Our big idea is just something that I hope will help you remember this truth out of Colossians 1. And it's this: the gospel turns hostile sinners into holy servants. The gospel changes us from hostile to holy. But not only are we reclassified in our stance before God, but we are also redirected in our purpose for God. All right, keep reading and we'll see this come true. And you, I'm going to read the whole text again. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul finishes this part of the text by saying, all of what I've told you, the beautiful gospel message, I, Paul, have become a minister. And the word that's used, that's translated minister here, like underlying that word is this idea of being a servant. Paul's saying, this truth, I have become a servant of this truth. I'm going to give all of my life to making sure what I have heard and received will go out and be shared with others that need to hear it. He has given his life to it. And let me ask you, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody like Paul in the first century, where believing and proclaiming this message, it would likely get you killed? Why would he do that? Why would somebody in our day, in our time, why would you give your life to be a servant of this gospel message? Why would you risk making your relationships at work awkward by talking about your faith? Why would you walk across the street and build a relationship with your neighbor for the purpose of sharing the gospel? Why would you do that? Why would you invest your hard-earned money in a church, in a college ministry that's going to work hard to make Jesus known at Coe and Kirkwood and Mount Mercy and Cornell? Why would you consider packing up everything that you have, leaving what you know that is comfortable, and moving halfway across the country for a church plant? Why would anyone give their lives as a servant of this gospel message? Here's why. Because that's just how good of news the good news is. That's how important the message is. That we were hostile to God, that we were alienated from God. And yet, by his death, he has made us blameless and above reproach, that he has given us grace and freedom by his death. That little phrase, that beautiful phrase, by his death. You were once a hostile sinner, and now you are a holy servant. And that is good news. And that is good news that is worth giving your life to. But not everybody's going to do that, are they? Right? Paul gives the people in this letter a little warning here. He says, church, all of you have heard the gospel, but not all of you have put your full hope and your full trust in the gospel. Some of you are shifting and wobbling, and he's telling them, watch out, be careful. And I think that warning is appropriate even for our room today, even for the people that sit in this place today. Maybe you've heard the gospel. Maybe this message today from Colossians 1 is not something that's new to you. And maybe in your mind, it even makes a little bit of sense, and you want to believe in this truth, and you want to give your life to this truth, but maybe you just haven't gotten serious about it yet. Or maybe it's something that you thought a lot about when you were younger, but lately you've been wandering. Maybe you're actually putting your hope in your bank account or your status at work. You're putting your trust and your reputation and how well your kids behave. Maybe you feel like you're not like against God, but maybe you're not passionately for God either. Maybe you're just sitting right there in the middle. And this idea of giving your life to the sharing of the gospel, that sounds a little bit radical. Like maybe that's for those fanatical Christians too. My warning for you today, Paul's warning for you today, there is no fence to sit on. There is no middle ground. You are either with him or you are against him, you will either recognize your hostility against God and repent of it, or you will deny your hostility and you will reap the consequences because of it. See, there's a common thought among some Christians, and I put quotes around that term Christians intentionally, because there is this thought that because I try to do a lot of good and because I don't do too much bad, that I was somehow easy to save, right? That it wasn't that much work to get me into the kingdom, not nearly as much work as the guy down the street that drinks a lot and beats his wife, right? Like, that somehow I was kind of easy to save. That statement alone is arrogant. It is prideful, and it is wicked. Recognize your hostility to God. Repent of it. And then give your life as a servant to this message, because I believe that's the only response that makes sense when we really understand it. When we truly understand the depths of our sin, and we fully understand the work that God went to send his son Jesus to take the punishment for that sin, when we understand those two realities, I believe the only response that makes sense is that we would be people that give our lives to serving this gospel message. And the God that gave it, and the God that did it. I just think that's what makes sense. I want to give you just a couple kind of practical helps to applying Colossians 1 and these three verses, and I hope these are helpful for you. The first thing that I would encourage you to do, and fair warning, this process is going to stink. It's not going to be very much fun, but here's the thing I think we need to do. I would encourage you today or tomorrow or at some point to sit down with a piece of paper and just begin to write down all the sin that you've been engaged in just the last week. The last couple days probably gives you enough fodder for this, but even go for the last week and just write down sin after sin after sin, all of your bad motives, all of your bad actions, all of your wrong thoughts. Like, just write those down, okay? And then if you're really bold, invite someone who loves you and knows you and that you trust and say, hey, will you look at this and just add to it if anything that I've missed. If you're bold enough, I would encourage you to do that. But then here's what I want you to do next. I want you to memorize a verse of scripture. Romans 5:8 is a verse that each one of us should know by memory. It says this: but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Take that verse, write it at the top of your list of sins, and then go back through that list. One by one, repeat that verse. While I was still lying, Christ died for me. While I was still lusting, Christ died for me. While I was still arrogant and prideful and boastful, Christ died for me. Remind yourself of that truth. Over and over, repeat that truth and commit that to memory, that no matter how far you think you've gone or how far you think you've been, none of that is beyond the reach of God's grace for you and God's love for you. None of that is beyond his ability to forgive you. Speak that truth over and over again. While I was still sinning, it wasn't at my best when Christ said, I'll go save him. It was at my worst when God said, go and rescue him. Go and save him. Bring forgiveness to him. Grace to him. Speak that truth to yourself over and over and over. And then go and live out of that reality. Go and live out of that reality. And listen, I'm not telling you that every single person in this room should quit their job and become a missionary or join a church staff or go on a church plant. Like, Paul was not telling the Colossian church, every single one of you should do the exact same things that I have done. But what Paul is saying is, take on the mindset that I have, that in everything and through everything, I will be a servant to the message of the good news of the gospel. Take on that mindset, waking up each day saying, God, I got to go to work today, and I got to run the kids from here to there, and I've got to take care of some errands. But all through that, in that, give me eyes to see the broken and hurting around me, And then give me the boldness to tell them about the good news that maybe they have not heard. Living with this mindset of no longer being a hostile sinner, but instead being a holy servant. It means that we don't let the weight of our past sins continue to weigh us down and continue to bog us down, but rather we move forward, looking to share this truth with any and all that will listen. Imagine living like that. Imagine the freedom that comes when you realize, like deeply understand, that God knows all of your junk. Every single little bit of it. He fully knows you. And yet, still, despite of it, he fully loves you. And he redeems you and makes you blameless. Church, listen, that concept still blows me away sometimes. That God, who knows all the things that many of you don't know, that has seen all of the things that I've thought and done and the impure motives and the wrong actions, that God has seen all of that in my life. And yet, while I was still there, while I was still sinning, God said, Jesus, go and rescue him, save him, bring him grace and forgiveness. That will bring you an overwhelming feeling of freedom and joy and purpose. Some of you are like me. You heard and you responded to the message of the gospel years ago. And maybe like me, you can tend to forget the reality of just how hard of work it was for God to save you. And you need this reminder from Colossians 1 to just refresh the joy and the hope that you find in the good news. But some of you, though, you have never heard this message before. Or maybe you have heard this message before, but you've never responded to it. You've sat, maybe you're sitting currently, feeling like you're just kind of on the fence, kind of in the middle. Not forcefully against God, but not passionately for him either. Listen, there is no fence to sit on. If that's where you feel like you're at, actually, the news today is that you are in opposition to God. You are forcefully against him, right? In this text, Paul says these words. He says, you were once alienated and hostile. He uses that in past tense in our text because he's speaking to believers. But for you, when you hear that text, that's actually still present tense for you. You are still hostile. You're still alienated from God. Hear the message today. Respond to this truth today. You are more sinful than you even know. But you are more loved than you'll ever understand. You have lived a life that condemns you, and yet Jesus died in a way that would save you. Breathe that truth in today. Rest in that truth today. Come to the foot of the cross where Jesus did the work of salvation, the work of bringing grace to this world, and relish that good news today. Rejoice in that, celebrate in that, rest in that, but don't stay at the foot of the cross, right? Get up and let's go, right? We have a message that is good news to us, and it is a message that should be good news to others. We are no longer hostile sinners. Instead, by the work of Jesus, we are holy servants. And we have a message, the good news of Jesus, that is worth giving every bit of our lives to. Let's be a people that lives like that. Let's pray. Father, we struggle with this truth and this reality that we're not as good as we think we are. And God, I hope that weight was felt. I feel that weight today, God, that on my own, I am against you and not for you. And yet, by your death, by your burial, by your resurrection, Jesus, you've given us life and joy and purpose. Would the beauty of that truth resound in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.